God is good, isn't he? I'm still having a little issue with my voice. I don't know what's going on, but it's okay. You know, when Tanya was talking about, you guys can't hear me? Okay. about watching herself, you know, that's something I seldom do. I'm so scared to look at myself. I very seldom look at, you know, at what I thought. I usually go over my notes because I just hate the way I sound. So, anyway, it's good that you're, you know, if you're able to do that. I'm still teaching on the Lord's Prayer, power praying the Lord's Prayer. And I'm going to go over a little bit of what I taught the last time because, you know, I didn't feel like I did a good enough job last time. I thought, maybe I just need to do better. So I'm going to briefly go over it. Those of you who haven't heard it, make sure you get the lesson. It's online. Let's go into prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come giving you praise, giving you honor, and giving you glory because you are worthy of all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. Lord, in for what you've done for us, Lord, you have been so good, Lord, and you've given us so much, Lord. We just need to thank you and praise you for the rest of our lives. Yes. Lord, we commit, Lord, this session of our service to you. I ask that your blessing, your anointing, Lord, would be on this lesson, that you would give me utterance, Lord, to deliver it in the manner in which it ought to be delivered. I pray, Father, Lord, that you will open the ears of your children so that they would hear what the Spirit is saying. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so like I said, we're continuing on in the Lord's Prayer. Now, when I started to teach this lesson, I thought in about maybe two teachings I would have covered it. But it has not gone that way at all. We're going through, it's taking a little while because we're dissecting it line by line. Now, we all know the what we refer to as the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven. This was a pattern that Jesus gave to the disciples when, you know, one of the disciples asked him, you know, teach us how to pray. And he said, Our Father, this is how you ought to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven. I know for a fact that there are some people who get a little confused as to who they should really pray to. Should they really pray to God or should they pray to Jesus? You know, then it even became a debate, you know, and stuff. But, you know, this prayer eliminates any doubt as to whom we should be praying to, because Jesus, who is the Son of God, he said that we should pray to the Father. Not him.
That's right.
I mean, we can talk to him, but he said, Our Father, and which art in heaven. You know, there are gods, there are lots of gods, small g, but the God that we worship, the God that we pray to is big G. And where does he live? Up in heaven. These are the gods. They live here and there, you know. They don't have no domain. They can't even help themselves. I don't know why they call them gods. But Jesus said, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And the word hallowed means sacred. God's name is sacred. It's not to be taken for granted like, you know, like we do today. A lot of us, even some of us Christians, we take the name of the Lord in vain. We use it callously. You know, we're careless about the way we use the name of God. We refer to him in a disrespectful manner.
That's right.
You know, we don't respect him. There's no reverence. Of course, this is the time and season that we're living in where it seems like reverence and respect and boundaries and all that stuff has been thrown out the window. I don't know, they've gone helter-skelter somewhere. But when we come before God, we should have this reverential fear. Not that we're afraid he's going to, you know, beat us up or anything, but, you know, respect. Uh-huh. Just like we respect our parents. Of course, Kids today don't even respect their parents. You know, the things that kids get away with today in talking to their parents, I couldn't do that. Man, I'm telling you, if I grumbled about anything, I had to do it out of my parents' earshot. You know, and if they caught a little bit of what I said, I had to find a way to, you know, disguise it, because, I mean, my teeth would be rattling all over the floor. You know, respect. We had to respect. It didn't matter whether they were right or wrong. We had to show them that respect. And so we need, you know, if we respect our earthly parents, we should respect our Heavenly Father, because He's righteous, He's holy. You know, and we shouldn't just talk to Him in just any sort of manner. So He said, "Thy, you know, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come." Whose kingdom was Jesus referring? Do you think Jesus was referring to? The kingdom of God, God's kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Come where? Here. Exactly. Jesus told His disciples. He said, "When you pray, you know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come." So in last week and the week before, I think, we were established in Romans 14, 17, that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So I dissected it a little bit, you know, last week, but like I said, I didn't think I did a good enough job, so I'm going to attempt to do a little better job this week, okay? Righteousness, the kingdom of God is right, is not meat and drink, but righteousness. Righteousness, peace. What is righteousness? You know, Jesus was saying that we need to pray God's righteousness into this earth. It makes a difference, huge difference. When, you know, where there's no righteousness, the people what? Perish, you know? And God wants us to live. That's why Jesus came, that we might have life and have it, how? More abundantly, okay? So when we pray, righteousness is one of the components that makes up the kingdom of God, all right? And so, you know, back in the day with the scribes and the Pharisees, they were always trying to lay traps for Jesus. They were always trying to, you know, see if they can trip Him up so they can get something on Him. So in Matthew 22, 36 through 40, this particular Pharisee, he came and he thought he was really smart. You know, they all thought, you know, they had some good smart alecks back in those days, or so they thought, right? He came and he asked Jesus, he said, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." We should love the Lord. You know, some of us Christians, I don't think we really love God. Because if we did, we wouldn't live the way we live. We wouldn't do the things we do. You know, when we love someone, we don't want to hurt them. We don't want to displease them. We want to do everything to please the person that we love. We want to give to them. We don't want to be selfish. All right? And God gave. John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that He gave. He gave His only begotten Son. He had one Son. But when He looked at the world and He saw the sin and, you know, how far mankind fell and the degradation and everything, and He wanted to redeem us. And the only way He could do that is to give His one Son." He gave because He loved us. He loved us so much He was willing to sacrifice His one and only Son. And so He sent Him here. You know, love is not selfish. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 8 says, "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking." I think this is the NIV version. "It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. love never fails. Do you realize that this here, all this here that I just read is a part of righteousness? You know, love, that's a part of righteousness. Not being envious of others. When I was a little girl, my mom used to read to me from these Bible books. I had three of them. They were hardcover books, and some was the Old Testament and New Testament. And one day she read this story about this the prophet, I think it was Elijah. I always get confused between Elijah and Elisha, but I think it's Elijah. If I'm wrong, forgive me. But Elijah was a prophet, and this captain came from another place, I think from Syria. He came for healing. He had leprosy. And Elijah told him to go bathe in the Jordan. You guys know the story. He did 7 times. And so he got healed, and then he came back, and he wanted to give Elijah a bunch of gifts. And Elijah said, no, he didn't receive it. So, you know, when the captain went on his way, his servant Gehazi, he became envious. He wanted, he coveted. He wanted some of the gold and the talents and the silver and everything that the captain was going to give Elijah that he refused. And he ran off to him and made up some stories, concocted some lie. And so the captain gave him all these gifts. And when he went back, Elijah asked him, you know, where did you just come from? Is this a time to receive gifts? And he said, may the leprosy from Naaman cleave to you. And he ran out, a leper. Now, my mom was very careful to emphasize that he was covetous. He was envious. And that's why he became a leper. And I was about 8 or 9 years old, and it made such an impact on me. Fast forward a couple, year or two, I probably was about 8 or 9 at the time. We had sold some land, and the people who bought the land had a little girl, and they resided in London, and they came, and they bought the land. And so they were walking through our yard, and I was looking out my bedroom window at the little girl in the most beautiful pair of socks. They were some white socks. And it was a little different from the ones we had in Guyana, because Guyana is a tropical place and hot. And London gets cold. So the material was different, the makeup of the socks was different. It was just the most beautiful pair of socks. You know, now that I look back, I don't know what I was really looking at. To me, socks were socks now. But back then, it was, wow, those are some great socks. And as I was looking at her socks, I began to feel something inside of me that scared me. It felt like what Naaman did, the servant, the envy, the jealousy. And I remember I prayed, I said, oh Lord, I don't want to be like him. Please take this feeling away from me. And instantly, just like that, I felt something lifted off of me. It was probably a spirit, I don't know what it was. But you know, from that day to this day, as I'm standing here speaking to you, I have never had a problem with envy. I've never had a problem with jealousy. It doesn't matter who's got what, and I, even if it's something that I want, you know, I don't feel that way. See, that, you know, God doesn't want us to be envious of others. He doesn't want us to be jealous. He wants us to, you know, walk in the spirit of righteousness. That's a part of righteousness. So, you know, love is a part of righteousness. You know, pride is not a part of it. What does the scripture say? Pride, a haughty spirit goeth before a pride, goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Satan got kicked out of heaven because of pride. He was so beautiful, and he made all these musical songs when he walked, and he just thought that he could become better than God. And he created a conflict in heaven, and a third of the angels were dumb enough to follow him, and they all got kicked out. And then he came here and to this earth, and this earth has never been the same. People has never been the same. You know, all the stuff that's in him, if we don't bury it under the blood of Jesus, it the flesh will come up. Envy, jealousy, strife. you know, creating conflict, you know, keeping up drama all the time, wars, I mean, hate, all this stuff is a part of unrighteousness. And so when Jesus told his disciples, you know, when they said, teach us how to pray, and he said, you know, pray thy kingdom come, you know, this is what he was telling them to pray, because, you know, we're supposed to emulate heaven here on earth. You know, everything that goes on in heaven, we as Christians, we should pray it in the earth. You understand? It's we have an enemy who is going to always try to create conflict, and there are some people who are going to yield to him. But we as the children of God, we as the people of God, it's our duty to work, to strive towards righteousness, walking in love. You know, not being, you know, creating conflict, going around creating strife, right? We're supposed to bring, you know, heaven down here on earth. So, you know, can you imagine if we didn't have any conflicts, no wars, no one was mad at no one, no one was jealous, no one was envy, no one was trying to outdo anyone else. Can you imagine what a beautiful place this earth would be? Yeah. We'd have a piece of heaven right here on earth. But we can't, because we have an enemy that goes around, the Bible said, seeking to devour whom he can. And that's why we have to pray. Now you see why Satan doesn't want us to pray. Because if we pray, you know, we'll become aware of these things, and he won't be able to work through us, you know, as freely as he works through some, you know, some people yield themselves. So, you know, that's what we need to pray, righteousness into the earth, righteousness into our lives, righteousness into our schools, righteousness into culture, uh-huh, into society. I don't know what's going on in society. My friend Diane was talking just today. It's crazy. I mean, just 10 years ago to now, so much has transpired. Totally, you wonder, have these people gone mad? Have they lost their collective minds? You know, it's there are no words to describe what we've become. Anyway, moving on. Righteousness. So, you know, we need to pray. It's important that we pray, you know, pray for our schools, you know, pray for our kids. Our kids are being taught all kinds of weird stuff in the schools, in the school system. I saw a clip on TV the other day, and these were kindergartners. Kindergartners, they had these kids walking around, and they were chanting no more, and they were mentioning a political figure. I won't mention his name, but none of you guys probably saw it. No more this person, no more. I'm like, come on. These kids are, you know, they're being sent to school to learn how to read and write and spell and add and subtract. What do they care about politics? Kindergartners. See, they're indoctrinating our kids. As people of God, we better start rising up and praying. Praying over our kids, praying over our schools, teaching them the Word of God. You know, because if we don't, I mean, I don't know what's going to become of us. I dread to think what's going to become of us. And I tell you, I don't have any kids in school right now. I have three grandkids. Two of them are pretty much grown, and then there's one little one that's turning 5 next month. But I feel sorry for her. I pray over her every single day. I pray and I ask God to put a hedge of protection. I said, Lord, anything that's contrary to your word, do not let it even go in one ear and out another. Let it go straight over her head. Let it roll off of her like water off of a dog's back. You know, we need to pray for our kids, pray for our grandchildren, our nieces and nephews. And even if we don't have any kids in school, we still need to pray for our kids, because these kids are our future. And, you know, all this is the work of the enemy. And if we're not praying and we're sleeping or just, you know, leaving it for someone else to do, you know, God is going to hold us accountable.
That's right.
So we better start praying. Thy kingdom come. We need a little bit of heaven, a lot of heaven, here on earth. Okay? Okay, so let me move on. Righteousness, peace. That is something that seems to, it's elusive, peace. You know, so many people are celebrities and are wealthy people and, you know, poor people too in between. It just seems like peace is a fleeting thing. If people don't have peace, no peace. I got caught up in this reel. I'm telling you, you have to be careful when you go on Facebook. I used to never go on Facebook, but I tried to go on there because the intercessory team is on there, and then I try to get prayers in. But sometimes, you know, things will just pop up. And so I got caught up in this one reel. And the guy was saying, peace, all I want is peace in this house. Peace, peace, is that too much to ask? How many of us are saying that? There's no peace in the homes. You know, parents are squabbling, kids don't really have any respect, they're being disobedient. You know, the mom, you know, is worried about various things. You know, there's, a lot of emotional turmoil that go on in the lives of people. And you know, Satan is the stealer of peace. He doesn't want us to have peace. That's why he doesn't want righteousness in the earth, because then we'll have peace. Uh-huh. And he doesn't want peace. He wants drama. He wants us to live in strife. He wants conflict. He wants hate. You know, he wants everything and anything that's contrary to God. And you know, we need to, you know, just begin to just pray the word of God into our lives, into our situation, into our circumstances. You know, meditate God's word. Listen to worship songs. You know, when you're having issues, you know, we live in an imperfect world and things happen out of our control. And that will steal our peace. You know, bring us stress, try to steal our sleep. And what do? We meditate God's word. Lately I've been going to sleep listening to the audio Bible. I found this a bunch of, you know, prayers online, and I would, you know, find one last night. I think I was listening to some of the narrator's reading. I think it was Colossians, and I listened for a while and I fell asleep. But you know, my spirit was getting it. Uh-huh. Our physical may be asleep, but our spirit never sleeps.
That's right.
And there was an issue that, you know, that I was dealing with, and. And when I woke up about 5, maybe about 4:30 to 5 o'clock, and I reached out to my phone to turn it off, and right there it says, I can't remember exactly, but it says, God will make a way. It was big, and it was like looking at me, God will make a way. And you know what, just as soon as I saw it, I knew this was God talking to me. He's telling, because you know what I was praying about, and that peace just flooded my heart, just like that. Peace just came in. I mean, today was a really good day. Work was a bit, you know, hectic. There were some things that there were some clothes that I was working on that I. But you know, it was peaceful. I wasn't stressed out, worried, you know, and oh, what, you know, I'm gonna mess this up. No, peace. You know, peace is not something money can buy. Amen. God gives us his peace. He says he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him, right? How do we keep our mind stayed on him? Through his word, through his promises, you know, through spiritual hymns and songs. Meditating on what he has done for us in the past, the things that he has done. We all got a great report about, you know, Darlene, You know, she got a bad report one minute, and then the next minute, God turned things around. And you know, I was driving, going to work, and I said, Lord, I just thank you. I just thank you for what you did for her. Yeah. You know, and I put a prayer request. I have to put an update. A friend of mine, her grandmother fell down a flight of stairs, and she was badly hurt. I mean, she was banged up. She looked really bad. But I think it was just the next day or 2 days later, when she sent me the picture, she didn't look nothing like the banged up person that I saw. They said that it wasn't as bad as I thought, the fall wasn't as bad as I thought, and she was going to be fine. That's, you know, you see, these are the things we meditate on. We don't meditate on the stuff that's going on in the world or the bad report. That's what Satan wants us to do.
Right.
Because the more we rehearse these things, you know, the more our flesh gets riled up. And the more inclined we are to create conflict and arguments, you know, and spill things out of our mouth that, you know, we shouldn't be saying. I shared this, I think last week or the week before, I got really upset with a family member. I'm telling you, that person had pushed my button so badly. And I wanted to tell him a couple of things, and none of it was nice. Oh my God, it was not nice. And the more I thought about what they said, the angrier I got, and the angrier I got, the more I wanted, you know. But I couldn't, because I didn't want to displease God. I knew what I was going to say was going to be displeasing to him, but I wanted to do it. So part of me wanted to give it to them. Another part was saying, yeah, God, you know, God is watching. You see, there was this struggle, this physical struggle between the flesh and the spirit. And I came here, all the old timers were here. Of course, now I'm an old timer. You know, Miss Sarah and Miss Katie and Miss Margaret and, you know, Bunny, of course. She might be the only one left. And I just burst in there and I just told them, look, you all need to pray for me. And I give them, you know, a rundown of what was going on. And they all laid their hands and prayed over me. And you know what? That demon or spirit or whatever it was that was, you know, stoking the fire disappeared. And peace just flooded my life. No amount of money could have done that. No psychologist or psychiatrist could have done that. But God.
Yes.
You know, and the devil tries to steal our peace because he wants to keep us in turmoil. He wants us to keep, keep us in anguish and in distress and, you know, steal our sleep and just make us unbearable to be around. But God says, peace, the kingdom of God is peaceful. There's no conflict up in heaven. Nobody is being envious of anyone. No one is trying to overthrow God. The ones that tried, they learned their lesson, if they did. in the midst of the storm, we can have peace. Jesus was asleep in the boat. When the storm was brewing all around them, he was sound asleep. And the disciples were scared out of their lives, and they had to go wake him up and ask him, don't you see what's going on? How could you be asleep? And he got up, and what did he do? He spoke to the storm. We need to speak to our storms.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we forget. And that's why we need each other, to remind each other. Speak to the storm. We have authority. God has given us authority. And a lot of the things that we pray about, the reason we're not getting any answers is because God has already given us the authority. And if, you know, this past week I was listening to, I think it was Sid Roth, and then there was another lady that came on Come Home, that program with Jan Mallon. And that's what I heard about, you know, walking in authority that God has given us. But we forget who we are in Christ, who he has made us to be, the tools that he has given us. And so we pray, and God isn't doing anything because he expects us to handle it.
Uh-huh.
But we're not handling it. So, you know, there was this particular situation that, you know, that I'm facing, you know, when the Lord gave me, you know, the word this morning. You know, I spoke to that situation. And, you know, I command it. I said, you know, I loose you in the name of Jesus. I loose you here on earth, because the word of God says whatever I loose on earth is loosed in heaven. So I command you to be loose. You don't have no choice in the matter. You are loosed in the name of Jesus. You are loose. See, that's using our authority, our God-given authority that God has given us. And, you know, when turmoil and stress and all that comes, you know, we can speak to it. It's a mountain. God says if we speak to this mountain and say, go into the sea, it'll obey us. But we have to believe it. That's the key. We have to believe it. And you know, and so God wants us to have peace here on earth. He wants there to be peace in our schools, peace in our homes. He wants peace in our lives, you know. He wants us to have a peaceful spirit. Okay? Joy in the Holy Ghost. I have to really push. I've been trying to get here. This is where I've been trying to get. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, what is the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You know, the joy that Jesus gives, is that God gives, is not the type of joy that the world gives. The worldly joy is temporary. But we can have joy. We can have that everlasting joy. We can have that peaceful joy. You know, we're supposed to be a joyful bunch of people.
Yeah.
You know, not sad and walking around, you know. When I was, as a teenager, the church that I attended had this sister. Now I can talk about it because I know she's dead, gone a long time ago. But, you know, she was one of these Christians that felt that you shouldn't be joyful. I can't even describe it. And you know how teenagers are. When you teenagers get around other teenagers, they joke around stuff, they poke fun and thing. You know, we'd be standing there somewhere having fun. And then we'd spot her coming and, here's Sister So-and-so. And everybody would just scatter because she was a killjoy. She really was. You know, she was somber and serious, and I mean, you know, you couldn't dress up too nice because you were worldly. You know, one of those Christians that felt, you know, if you're a Christian, you know, you wore old clothes and hand-me-downs and, you know. And I had this cousin that lived with us one time, and this night I was ironing a skirt to wear to work the next day. And so she looked at me and she said, "You're wearing a skirt like that?" And I said, "Yeah, what's wrong with it?" And she said, "It's nice." And I thought, so why shouldn't I wear it? And she said, "Well, you're a Christian." And so I asked her, "What's your definition of a Christian?" And it took her a minute or so, and she said, "Well, Christians are supposed to be really sad and humped over like this, and they should, you know, be dressed in, you know, ragged clothes and a wide brim straw hat." I'm like, "Hold it." What? This, well, of course she was being honest. This was her perception of who a Christian is. So when she saw me ironing my skirt, I didn't think it was that nice. I mean, it was nice, but you know, she thought, "Why are you wearing a skirt like that? You're Christian." You know, this is the world's definition. You know, we're supposed to be sad and depressed and down and out. But no, God wants us to be joyful.
Yes.
He wants us to have joy. You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Isn't that what the word says? You know? And he wants us to live in peace, and you know, he doesn't want us, you know, bogged down with the things of the world and sad and depressed and everything bad. You know, those kind of Christians, and they do have them. If you're smart, you don't want to hang around them too long, because that kind of stuff will jump on you. You know, people that complain a lot, if you hang around them, next thing you know, you're complaining. people that criticize all the time, you hang around them too much, next thing you know, you're criticizing. So, you know, we need to examine ourselves, and we need to, you know, focus on the Word and what it says, what God says about, you know, how we should pray, the things that we should be praying in our lives, in our own lives, in the lives of our fellow Christians, in the lives of our sons and our daughters, in the, you know, in our society, in our culture, righteousness, peace, and joy. We're supposed to be a joyful body of believers, not down and downtrodden and sad and, you know, always, you know, be a killjoy. We don't want to be those kind of people, right? That's not what the kingdom of heaven is like. When we get to heaven, there's not going to be anyone sad and depressed and, you know, with white brim straw hats and torn and tattered clothes. We're not going to find that in heaven. Heaven is a happy place. It's a wonderful place, right? And that's what we need to be praying into the earth. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And next week, I'm teaching again next week. So I'll be teaching on the next verse. Thy kingdom come. That's the next verse. Thy kingdom come. So I'm giving you guys homework. I want you to look up that verse. Do some research in it, and then next Wednesday, we'll talk about it some more, okay?
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that He has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of Him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877, phone 334-520-7538, or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night 7 p.m. and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, aciionlinegiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.